We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Monday from the Kia Studios with John and Hume. The offseason of the NFL. A lot of big questions to be answered, a lot of big questions to ask, including what's going to happen with the Atlanta Falcons and with Matt Ryan. I want to clear something up because I've been talking on our Twitter this morning, Hugh, about what's going to happen with Matt Ryan, with a couple of people who are tweeting in, and they're making these suggestions about, well, maybe you have to get rid of Ryan, or certainly we've heard this over the last couple of weeks. You're going to have to get rid of Ryan, or you're going to have to, you know, maybe draft a quarterback
who
or something like that.
Well, Ryan, who?
Matt Ryan.
Who said
that? Well, this one guy, American, he's like, you know, basically saying, he said that he has a wild card idea for you. Falcons trade up at the draft for Lamar Jackson, get Mike Vick 2.0, save a lot of cap space in the process. Won't happen, but worth a thought.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant like somebody was saying that actually that's a chance that's going to happen. I was like, ooh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, we're going to have to get past this, and this is what we have to deal with as Falcons fans. I know that a lot of you have thought about this going kind of forward about, you know, what do you do with Matt Ryan and possibly drafting a quarterback. We need to just come to grips with, for those of you who are not fans of number two, you're going to have to come to grips with the fact that Matt Ryan is going to be your quarterback for the next 5 years, whether you like it or not. They're not getting rid of Matt Ryan, okay? It's just not going to happen. And so we are going to have to restructure him. They're going to have to give him a new deal, and it's going to be interesting to see how they build that deal around the cap.
Yeah. That's where it's going to be fun to see how creative they get with these numbers and how they're going to, you know, get to that number that is good for everybody, because that's what we're talking about. Arthur Blank has already come out and said where he wants to be. Well, he gave an idea of what he's envisioning, and Matt hasn't said anything. But you look at that Jimmy Garoppolo deal, and you got to think that, man, Matt's going to get more money than that. So let's just start there. Let's just start with Jimmy Garoppolo's deal. And figure out where Matt's going to be from that. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's the guarantee we're talking about here, right? It's the guarantee. $90 million over 3 years, Matt's going to get that or more. And remember, Matt Stafford has the largest contract in the NFL. And Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan are best friends. And Matt Stafford is a guy who happens to have the same agent as Matt Ryan. And you can't sit here and tell me that Matt Stafford's worth more than Matt Ryan.
Well, now, so I think Jimmy Garoppolo has the richest NFL deal for a quarterback. And that's where the issue is because of what he signed for.
Mm-hmm.
And he has set the bar. He set the precedent for quarterbacks. And, you know, like, if Matt's being smart, and I'm pretty sure his agent's sitting back. I mean, there's no hurry to get it done, but you want to probably try to get it done as sooner than possible if you're the Atlanta Falcons, because Kirk Cousins hasn't signed yet. Kirk Cousins hasn't signed. And Kirk Cousins is going to be the one that you're going to look at and whatever he signs for, which is probably going to be more than Garoppolo. Matt's going to have to make more money than him.
I wonder who's going to be next. You've got Brady, you've got Cousins, you've got Breeze, you've got Ryan. You got those four, right? And so I wonder who's going to be the one who moves next. You know, it's kind of like you're all sitting around waiting for the next guy to go so that you can say, because whoever's next to you is going to reset the market, right?
Well, Tom Brady's usually his contracts have always been considered, in air quotes, cap friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a situation where Tom Brady's going to get his bread. But as far as we're concerned, and what we're going to be told is that his deal is going to be cap friendly, and that he's taking a pay cut, which he's definitely not taking a pay cut. They're just going to restructure his deal in a way where it works better for the organization as opposed to giving the player more money up front.
Right, and that's what you're hoping for with Matt Ryan too.
Yeah, you're hoping that they're going to be it's going to be a cap friendly deal. It all depends on Matt. It all depends on how they structure the deal and what they envision Tom Brady actually being in the next couple of years for the New England Patriots. Honestly,
on our Twitter right now, we are out there asking a question this morning at 9 to 9 The Game. Let's play three NFL questions, okay? Should the Falcons target an offensive guard, and we're getting a lot of responses to this, should the Falcons target an offensive guard in free agency, or should they draft one? You say you?
I'd say that going with the trend that they should target one.
In free agency, I agree, and that's what most people say. As a matter of fact, you could almost make a case for both, right? I mean, Daryl, if you were in free agency or the draft, where should you go as an Atlanta Falcon?
Offensive guard.
Okay.
Got to protect the money.
In the free agency or the draft? That's question number one, Wendy Adams. Where do you go if you're the Falcons?
I'm saying free agency. I know it might cost a little bit of money, but you have to shore up the offensive line.
And the question number two, and I agree with that. Question number two, does Foles stay in Philadelphia? Hugh Douglas, does Foles stay in Philly?
I think he does, yes.
Daryl, does Foles stay in Philly?
Yes, most definitely.
Does Nick Foles, with a Super Bowl ring, now stay in Philadelphia, Wendy Adams? That's question number two on our
Yes, he
Twitter.
Stays in Philly.
I agree. I think Philadelphia goes into the year with Foles and Wentz. And I think your point earlier, and I think we need to revisit this. You made a point earlier about this story that I think was really spot on, Hugh. What happens if Carson Wentz does come back, he's ready for the regular season to begin, and suddenly, he's not playing very well. There are going to be a lot of calls for Nick Foles to come into the game.
There's definitely no question about that, is that he's going to be a guy that is going to be looked at to come in and lead this team once again. Because Carson Wentz is not going to come back and be the Carson Wentz that he was before he got hurt. It's going to take some time for him to get back to that. And I don't think the fans have that kind of patience to wait. They really don't. And that's unfortunate. It's two things going on here. They don't have the patience to wait, and the games in an NFL season are way too precious to be waiting around for your quarterback to finally get it back up to speed, especially if you're dropping like two games, three games in a row. So, yeah, you don't have time to wait for that.
And then the final question, I agree, Foles stays in Philadelphia. This is on our Twitter right now if you want to weigh in, and we're talking about this at 929 The Game on our Twitter. It's three NFL questions. Should the Falcons target an offensive guard in free agagency, or should they draft one? Does Nick Foles stay in Philadelphia? And what's the best landing spot for Kirk Cousins? Where do you think he's going to end up, Hugh Douglas? Where do you think you see some teams out there? Jacksonville needs a quarterback. Buffalo needs a quarterback. Denver needs a quarterback. And the draft has a lot of good quarterbacks in it. Cleveland needs a quarterback. Where does Kirk Cousins end up?
I would say Jacksonville. If I was to throw a team out there that I think would be a best landing spot for him, I would say Jacksonville. I would say that because, you know, you're still young enough so that you can still, you know, you still have a connection with the team, and you're good enough that you can get them over the hump. Jacksonville has a good football team.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
they just need a quarterback because, you know, at times the quarterback play was a little spotty for them, but it was still good enough for them to make it to the second round of the championship game for the AFC. So you just need a quarterback. You get a quarterback, then you might make it to the AFC championship.
Daryl, if you had to guess best landing spot for Kirk Cousins, where is he going to end up?
I'm going to stick with what I said initially, and that's the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, that's another great call too. Arizona Cardinals definitely need somebody to come in and help them. Where does Wendy Kirk Cousins light?
I say Denver. They're looking for a quarterback, and I think he fits right in. I mean, they want to win now. They have a defense built for it. Just bring in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that's what I originally said was Denver, and I'll stay with it, that Denver is going to actually target Kirk Cousins. John Elway wants Kirk Cousins in the worst way. So it'll be really interesting to see where Cousins goes. But more interesting, again, who's going to go next? Now that Garoppolo has his deal, which one of these guys is the next to jump into the fire and kind of reset that bar above Jimmy Garoppolo, and how much does he get? I mean, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, I think you at this point, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, you want to go. Maybe you want to go next with Matt Ryan. Maybe you want to go next so that you don't end up having to be whoever gets stuck with last. Whoever goes dead last probably going to end up paying the most, right?
It all depends on who it is, John. I mean, there's so much stuff that goes into these negotiations. Matt Ryan is probably not going to go next because it would do him no good to go next because Kirk Cousins hasn't signed yet. And you want to, you know, you want to make more money than him. And I know, like, I'm saying this from my perspective. That might not even be Matt's motivation. Might come in and say, hey, I want to get it done. Hey, let's just not fool around with this. Let's get it done now. But I don't see that happening because there's no hurry to get the deal done. There's no hurry. This is an extension for Matt Ryan. Everybody else is trying to get new contracts for the most part. Him, you know, outside of Tom Brady. Kirk Cousins is trying to find a home. He's trying to find a team. So that's what he's trying to do. So there's no hurry for Matt Ryan to go out there and sign a deal right now.
No, there is no hurry. And, of course, that's going to lead to some frustration for Falcons fans because, you know, even though we haven't entered the free agent period here, you want to know what's going on. I mean, what are we going to end up doing here in this offseason that's going to lead us to believe that you can win the Super Bowl coming up this season? And that's going to be – and to make it to the Super Bowl here in Atlanta, and you want to know about what are you going to do at defensive tackle? Because it, I noted that a couple of fans thought, well, there's only a couple areas to shore up. Because I had this conversation on Twitter, too. I don't think so. I think there's fullback. That's an issue. Defensive tackle. What are you going to do with Dontari Poe? Let's talk about, you know, the defensive line. Let's talk about wide receiver, a third wide receiver in the draft. Let's talk about tight end. I mean, there are a lot of positions on this team that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
Not just one, the five one or thing six.
The one thing that you can always say about every NFL team, no matter what year, is like they'll say there's always a position to be improved every year. Every year. And for most teams, you never improve every position every year. So there's always room for to get better. And this year is the same thing. You know, you're talking about all these different guys that you're going to get. You're going to draft guys that might not work out or you know, they might get hurt. But the Falcons aren't in a good position. I think that they are in position to make some noise in the NFC again this year is – if you shore up that guard position and you get another receiver. You get another receiver. And I'm not saying you got to get him in high rounds in the first or the second round, maybe a third round receiver, maybe somebody in the slot, a little bit more size on him, something like that, and a D-tackle spot. I think that you should, with those first two picks, there should be a D-tackle or offensive lineman that is going to be gotten in with the one of those picks. But outside of that, there's not too much of a need outside of the guard spot to feel the needs on the squad.
You know, it's going to be really interesting to see if they go into the draft and draft a wide receiver, because yes, I agree. And this is no slight against, you know, Justin Hardy or Taylor Gabriel or any of the guys that have filled that third wide receiver spot behind Sanu and Julio Jones. I think we all understand what the Falcons really need is to get a little bit bigger and get another guy out there who can be a possession wide receiver for you in terms of being able to move the sticks. But to that end, too, Hugh, I think you're also looking at potentially having to upgrade tight end. I mean, tight end to me was a disappointment this year. Fullback was a disappointment to me this year. I think you took a step back in both those positions on offense.
I think between the two, it's hard to find fullbacks, John. You're not going to draft a fullback. I mean, that's just the reality of it. There are going to be guys that are probably some other position that are learning to play fullback, but no, you're just not going to readily find like fullbacks. It's hard, that's a hard position to fill nowadays. So there's going to have to be somebody who's converted, or you just have to get the guy you already have. What's his name again? The young fella that you already have at fullback.
Derek Coleman.
Yeah, you got to work with him. You got to work with him.
Yeah, and I didn't think they missed Pat DeMarco as much as they did. You know, they do. You know, they missed Pat DeMarco, no question about it. He was a little bit more valuable than I expected. And you know what? Quite frankly, they missed Jacob Tammy, too.
And then you got to think this, too, John. First year coordinator, didn't really work DeMarco in the way that he was worked in under Coach Shanahan. So maybe there has something to be with that.
Right.
I would be – and we are making these evaluation and assumptions from a position of what was he – number one, what was he asked to do?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a whole lot this year. Most fullbacks aren't asked to do a whole lot. And you win against DeMarco when he had as few catches that he had last year. But most of the time, fullbacks are those guys that you don't know that much about them unless they're missing blocks. I mean, because that's what they're doing. They're lead blockers. And from the way that the two running backs, the season that they had, I would venture to say that he graded out pretty decent because Devontae Freeman had a pretty decent year and Tevin Coleman had a pretty decent year. So I'm going to venture to say he graded out pretty good.
Well, there are tweaks to be made to this team, and again, it's not just one or two positions. You're going to have to look at a number of spots where the Falcons need to upgrade, and this is why getting Matt Ryan's deal done, everything hinges on this, on getting Matt Ryan's deal done, and this is why you can't go next. So now that Jimmy Garoppolo's gone, who's going to go next? Let's figure this out. You have to restructure. You've got to deal with your left tackle, correct? I mean, you're going to have to deal with Jake Matthews. What are you going to do there?
Yeah, somebody on my Twitter page said, you know, move him into guard position. That's a tall man to be trying to make him play guard, though. I mean, you just look at the stature of most of the guards. They're not – like, Jake's too big for that. Like, if you're not happy with Jake and you want to go get somebody else, then I don't think you move him into guard. You just go get you somebody else and let him go. But I don't think that's going to happen.
This hour brought to you by Renner's Warehouse. Mike Conney is the new play-by-play guy for Atlanta United, and he had a chance to call his first game on a really sloppy, ugly, wet field in Nashville. What are Conney's thoughts about what he saw from Atlanta United? And more as we continue next.
Meanwhile, Atlanta United just outside the 18. Pass to the far post, and it's punched in for a goal! Romario Williams, 3-1 Atlanta United right off the restart.
Mike Conney on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as Atlanta United beats Nashville SC 3-1 on Saturday afternoon in a rain-soaked game at a baseball stadium in Nashville. And Mike joins us now to discuss a little bit about what he saw in the opening game for Atlanta United and his debut game as the new play-by-play voice of United. And welcome to the program, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing good. So tell me, I mean, watching that, it was kind of an ugly game because of the rain just made the pitch almost unplayable at times.
I think, to be honest with you, credit to the grounds crew there in Nashville for just making it marginally playable. And it's really not their fault. I know a lot of people are saying some things about, well, why are you playing that match in a baseball park? And you know, couldn't they have provided a better pitch? I think they did the best they could. It's just when you get 2 or 3 inches of rain like that, it's a driving rain during the match. There's only so much you can do to, you know, squeegee the water off at halftime and try to make the pitch marginally playable. But to Atlanta United's credit, they took advantage of the poor playing conditions. You know, the first goal of the match was completely a product of standing water in front of the Nashville net, and Joseph Martinez kind of got a gift where the ball just stopped in a puddle and he was able to pound it home. So I don't really know how much we've learned about Atlanta United because the playing conditions were the way they were, but at least he got out of it with a 3-1 win, and now you can move forward to the Challenge Cup in Carolina.
You know, it's funny. I was just about to ask you that, Mike, with the pitch being so wet. I mean, what can you take from it? Can you look at, like, some of the players' conditioning? Or what? How do you watch a game and take something positive away from something like that?
Hugh, it's interesting. We had Greg Garza on with us after the match, and he said that through most of the first couple weeks of training camp, they haven't even been playing with the ball. It's just all about fitness and conditioning and running and getting their legs back. And I think Jason and I were a little bit surprised that Tanner Martino kept the vast majority of his outfield starters in the match for at least 60 minutes and some of them into the 75th minute. So it was certainly a test of conditioning on a wet field. And Hugh, you've played football. I'm sure it's a lot harder playing on a waterlogged field to move around. The grass is a lot softer. So at least Atlanta United passed that test. The other thing that really stood out to Jason and I was just how good Darlington Nagbe looked. And he played 75 minutes, but the fact that he was able to possess the ball and beat guys off the dribble, even on a really wet pitch like that, was a very, very good sign.
Mike Conney joining us on the WaveFord.com hotline. Of course, he is the new play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. And you had a tough assignment. Here, Mike, take this and go ahead and call a game at a baseball stadium in the driving rain for Nashville SC. Not exactly the opening day I think you would have envisioned.
No, and Nashville's kits, they only had numbers on their backs. They didn't have anything on the front of their kits or on their shorts or anything, so that made it tough. I think what made it the toughest, John, two things. Number one, we're in the baseball press box, so we're behind home plate, which basically means we're behind one of the goals. So the goal that was out in right field, it was really hard to pinpoint what exactly was going on out there. The other thing was, you know, in a typical MLS match, you might have maybe 13 or at most 14 different players per side get into the match. Nashville played 25 players alone on Saturday, and Atlanta United, I think, ended up playing, I don't know, 22, 23 when you count the goalkeeper. So it was unusual to have that many different people out there, and it was frankly hard to see. But we had a great time. It was a great time meeting with the supporters Friday night in Nashville. It was a great time meeting a lot of the 17s walking in and out of the park on Saturday. Had a really, really good time meeting those people. And I had a lot of fun working with Jason Longshore. I'm really looking forward to working with him this year He's got a really unique, credible perspective on not only Atlanta United, but soccer in general. And I was really curious to hear his thoughts on how he felt the Five Stripes played on Saturday. And I think he, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he came out of it feeling that they certainly passed the first test.
So what did you see from some of the players like Chris McCann? How did he look out there for his first game with Atlanta United?
Played a lot. I mean, he played a lot. He was one of those guys that just off the top of my head, I feel like he wasn't subbed out until the 75th minute. So they got a really long look at him. Sal Zizo was another guy that they brought over from New York Red Bulls who played a lot. He did not have a very good match, but he's not really going to be the starter at right back when the regular season starts. So he got a good opportunity to play with the first unit, get his legs stretched a little bit, try to develop chemistry. And I think that's kind of the challenge here that Atlanta United's going through right now. It's just trying to build chemistry. You bring in Ezequiel Barco from Argentina, who's the wonder kid, really, you know, the 18-year-old that Atlanta United paid an MLS record fee, a transfer fee to bring him here. So much expected of him. And it felt like at times he and Almiron were maybe having a little bit of trouble developing that chemistry. I think the wet pitch had a lot to do with it because the passing wasn't crisp and clean. Ball was kind of dying on the wet grass. But over the next week or two, I mean, we're inside of 3 weeks to the start of the regular season. I think that might end up being the biggest priority right now for Atlanta United is just to build that chemistry because most of the group is back from last year, but not everyone. And there are changes in the starting lineup, and it does take time to build that chemistry.
Now, I know you've done it before, but how was it for Mike Conte to call his first of many soccer games this season? Just getting the chops underneath you, Mike, and just going out there and the pace being a little bit different. How was it for you the first time out there?
It was a lot of fun. I will admit, even on the wet pitch and the slow field, I was surprised at how fast Nashville played. I wasn't surprised to see Atlanta United play that fast. I've been expecting that kind of up-tempo style. I've watched as much film as I possibly can of them. I wasn't surprised by that. Nashville's goal was on a really, really fast counterattack, and Rapapa Mensah got on the end of a ball and slammed it past Alec Cann. And I was very, very surprised, almost caught off guard, really, by how fast Nashville played. So it was preseason for me, too. I'm sure I was a little bit behind the play. I appreciate everyone's patience with me. I have done soccer before, but not at this level, so it's going to take me a little while, I think, to get used to the speed of MLS play and certainly the speed of the way that Atlanta United plays. But it was a lot of fun. I give a lot of credit to Miller Pope, our engineer, Jimmy Vance, our producer, and Jason Longshore. They made it a very, very comfortable booth for me. They didn't get on me too much for the mistakes that I made, and I made some probably more than I'd like to admit. So I think we're going to have a really fun season, but you're right, you know how it is when training camp starts. You're just excited to kind of get out there and start going with it, and I was really excited just to get started. And I'm glad that we have one in our back pocket now that we can lean on.
Mike Conte, of course, new play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. Fill the fans – two things, Mike, just to kind of wrap up the interview here. Fill the fans with exactly what's going to take place now with this team. And just kind of a thought here as you look back on that opening game, we got flashes of what this team can be. But if you want to slow Atlanta United down, if you wanted to have it rain 3 inches, because that negates exactly what they want, which is that you could see, I could see even in the rain where Barco is going to add an additional speed to Miggy Almiron and really become that next, you know, gear for that offense. Because if what I saw and a little bit in the rain, I'm thinking they could put up 3+ goals a game on average because they're going to be flying down the field.
I agree. It felt like Barco was almost overrunning the ball sometimes, like he was playing tennis with himself because the field was slowing the ball down so much. Honestly, John, not to downplay Barco, he's going to be huge. I think Nagby is the key to all of this, though. Nagby stood out to me as the man of the match by far for Atlanta United. Very nearly had 2 goals, assisted on a goal. I think he assisted on the goal in the 75th minute. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just off the top of my head here. But you can just tell that the passing is going to be very accurate, and he's such a good dribbler. And that's something that is really, really going to help kind of catalyze the attack for Atlanta United in 2018. As far as what's going to come, they're back in Marietta now. I think they came back some of their personnel actually came back with me on Saturday, like their equipment guys. I'm not sure if the players stayed in Nashville on Saturday or not, but they're back at Marietta now. They're going to train there this week. Thursday, they're going to have an open training at Marietta, which will be really cool. They're going to kind of unveil Barco, and then supporters will be able to watch them train. And then they're going to get on the bus and go down to Charleston, and they're going to be in Charleston for a week to play something called the Carolina Challenge Cup. It'll be three matches. The first two will be against MLS sides. The third one will be against Charleston Battery of the USL. That'll kind of wrap that up. This is a trophy. I mean, they can win a trophy if they end up winning this tournament. I'm not 100% sure about that now that I say that. But it'll be a nice opportunity for them to play three matches in a short span of time. I would imagine Tata Martino will get some answers to any kind of depth chart questions that he might have. I would assume, I'm hoping, that Tito Vejava will be healthy. He'll be able to play. We did not see him on Saturday, nor Franco Escobar, nor Michael Parker, so you have to get those guys healthy. But three more exhibition matches in Charleston and a closed-door match this coming Wednesday in Marietta against North Carolina FC. Closed-door, which means supporters, fans, media, we aren't allowed to see it, but it'll be kind of a closed-door scrimmage. So really four more opportunities before they open the season in less than 3 weeks now in Houston against Houston Dynamo.
Mike, as always, do appreciate it. I look forward to the season and your call of the games and Atlanta United season knocking on the door. Thanks, Mike.
You're the man.
And, John, thanks for all the kind things you said on Twitter this weekend. I appreciate it.
No, my friend, I always for you. I mean, I'm thrilled that you got this position, and I'm thrilled for Atlanta United's season ahead. Thanks, Mike. Mike is a new play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. I think it's going to be a fun year. Matter of fact, I think it's going to be a tremendous year, but I'm trying to check myself a little bit, too. When we get back, some of the stories we may have missed on a Monday as we swing into the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This website is where you're going to be spending all your time.
Is there porn?
Sports porn. Launching Valentine's Day. Sports Radio 92.9 TheGame.com.
Everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, if you are heading into work this morning and have not watched the Olympics over the weekend, I'll give you a couple of quick hits. That way you can have some sort of discussion with whomever you may be talking with who watched the Olympics, and you just kind of want to have a conversation piece. Because when Team USA, their Olympic team, brought into the opening ceremony, you may have recognized a certain song. This is what they walked into.
And here they come.
United States of America.
There you see luger Aaron Hamlin, the 2014 bronze medalist and four-time Olympian.
Oh, Gundam Star.
Saw Vice President Mike Pence and his wife Karen applauding and welcoming the Americans.
Oh, they're very incredible. Cameo. Yep, got it. Into the Olympic opening ceremony. Also, another quick hit, if you're just looking to talk to people today about it, people are making fun of Katie Couric for something she said during the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics. The Netherlands was entering, and Katie had an interesting explanation for why they are so dominant at speed skating.
Next is the Netherlands. It's probably not a newsflash to tell you the Dutch are really, really good at speed skating. All but five of the 110 medals they've won have been on the speed skating oval. Now, why are they so good, you may be asking yourselves? Because skating is an important mode of transportation in a city like Amsterdam, which sits at sea level. As you all know, it has lots of canals that can freeze in the winter. So for as long as those canals have existed, the Dutch have skated on them to get from place to place, to race each other, and also to have fun.
I'm not okay. Sure what producer put that car.
Because they don't have cars there, you know, to drive or anything.
Seriously?
But that in was the Netherlands, bad. They do not use skating as a mode of transportation. They invest heavily in skating for competition, but they do not use it as a mode of transportation. So she just pulled this out of thin air.
I would have believed it.
It sounded convincing, but no, they don't skate down the canals as a mode of transportation.
You know, it's been such an interesting, you know, time to the Olympics. There've been so many. Did anybody see the North Korean cheerleader girls.
I have a clip of them.
I heard of them.
Man, that thing was creepy.
Well, they're going to a whole bunch of different events, and they cheer no matter what, but they acted like this when their team lost 8-0 in a hockey game. This is what they sounded like. It's kind of bizarre.
This is them, by the way.
Yes. It goes on and on, but they've been at every kind of event. They're calling them the Army of Beauties, but they just sit and they wave their hands. They do different kind of motions, but it's just awkward and kind of bizarre.
Yeah, it's awkward and bizarre because, you know, at first people, there was some reaction at first that people said, oh, isn't this interesting? Look at these choreographed cheerleaders out there. And I thought, well, yeah, they're choreographed cheerleaders because if they don't choreograph and hit every note and do it all the time perfectly, their families back home are going to be put into a wood chipper or something. They come from a totalitarian state, for crying out loud.
It's really sad.
I know.
It's sad. I mean, yeah, there's not really much else to say about it.
This is the state of where we're at with this, you know. I mean, it's bizarre. Well, we knew that some of this was going to happen with Kim Jong-un and all that, what's going on, and this is what we get. So if you watch me and you're fascinated by him, I get that, but just keep in mind what their families are going back home with, probably sitting around with a guard with a gun in their house saying, if you don't do this, if your daughter messes up, phew, man.
So Kevin Hart launched a 12-episode series. They're about 10 minutes long. He launched it last week, and I have to be careful with the name because I can't say it on the air because we are not allowed to say it.
Ooh.
It is Cold as Orbs. Cold as Orbs. And you can just figure out what orbs is. Cold as whatever.
Circles.
Circles, yes. Cold as Circles. That's what it's called. So he
Cold as Circles. That makes no sense.
It rhymes with halls.
You mean like basketball?
Yes.
Yes.
It's Cold as Basketball?
Cold as Basketball.
Yes. So it's weird.
But it's two of them.
Stop.
I'm saying, okay, I'm
better finish the story.
Just trying to figure it out. I get it.
No, Hugh.
Basketball.
Come on, Hugh. If you can't figure it out, I don't know how many help.
Talk to me like I'm a 2-year-old. I have it now because Daryl had a fit. Thank you very much, Lincoln.
Well, it's these episodes where he is sitting in an ice bath, and the person he is interviewing, which is an athlete, is also sitting in an ice bath. And these guests include Blake Griffin, Draymond Green, Gabby Douglas, Lindsey Vonn, Hope Solo, Nerlens Noel, and he even started with LeVar Ball. So this is a little bit of what it sounded like, his interview.
I love this
with
interview.
LeVar Ball.
How do you feel that your son is going to deal with this spotlight? The spotlight has not been on him like the NBA spotlight.
You can't get to this level all of a sudden and be a superstar. You got to be a superstar when you're this little.
I'm
got to grow into that superstar. Lonzo's been a superstar all his life, so this is nothing new.
I'm following you.
How do you handle L.A.? How does L.A. handle us?
It's a great answer, actually.
Well, we've been like this all the time.
That may be one of the best things that I've heard you say since you have been on TV.
Wow.
Because you done said some stupid
Are you crazy? Like, some stupid
You said some stupid
What'd you name your fourth kid?
My fourth kid?
Yeah. If I had one, you know what his name would be?
What would his name be?
La Greatness.
Oh,
La Greatness?
Yes!
La Greatness.
Greatness. That's not too much pressure, is it? What's your name? La Greatness.
La Greatness.
But the interviews can only be 10 minutes long because both of them are sitting in ice baths.
Right, where you'd probably get hypothermia or something,
yes.
Right?
I mean,
I don't really think they're sitting in ice baths, though.
No, they were sitting in a chair, but then LeVar picked the chair up.
It moves
and took it out. Yeah.
It moves into the ice bath.
I don't think that's like real ice baths, though.
No, that's ice, bro. Watch it. Watch an episode.
That one was released, I believe, on Thursday of last week.
And yeah, it
the
was.
One when Blake Griffin just came out. So Blake
seems
Griffin
to me that if I were sitting
well.
In an bath, I'd be answering like that. But that's just me.
I would venture to say that's not real. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Just watch.
I've never been.
Hey.
I could not always do the ice bath because I don't
I'm
like
not
to be cold. I couldn't even take a cold
shower. So we've gone from Between Two Ferns.
Like, you're not just doing like, first of all, your guests are not going to want to get in a real ice bath. It can't. I call
it a real ice bath.
I don't believe
Hugh,
it.
Why don't you go to Google? Our friend Google will show you.
Believe it.
What are they making look like ice cubes?
Plastic.
You're tripping. Get out of here, man.
Y'all believe everything y'all see on TV?
Hugh.
It's on the internet. It's
you're tripping.
Okay, so, okay, I'm watching it. So, I don't know anybody in their right mind would just jump an ice bath just all willy-nilly like that.
When have you ever thought LeVar Ball was in his right mind?
Dude, that's not a real ice bath.
All right.
I call BS on that. I don't think that's a real ice bath.
How about we try to set you up to get on the show?
It's not a real ice
bath. Okay,
bag.
I'm asking. So would you get on the show if I could try to contact somebody to get you on
talk
there?
About what? Talk about how y'all believe everything that y'all see on TV? That's not a real ice bath, man.
That is a real ice bath.
Okay, Wendy.
Let's see
you of all people, I do not believe, Wendy, because you believe everything. You believe you believe that guys want gifts for Valentine's Day out of the store. You still believe that. So, no, you're working.
I don't know anymore. I'm not getting any gifts anyway. So, thanks for that.
What do Rick and John want for Valentine's Day, huh? Probably something out of the store. They're next, top of the hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.